verses 18. Are your Bibles? Go there. Matthew 28 from verse 18. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Matthew 28. You know the God? Yeah. Good. Okay. This Matthew. There you go to 28. 18, I'll say it again. And Jesus came and said to them, he said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and in the earth. He said, go therefore, make disciples, and teach all nations, rather, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the ends of the age. Amen. End of the word, amen. So we said, what God has instructed us to do in the churches is that we should make disciples by teaching them. So we said teaching becomes very important in the church, right? What should be the primary activity in the church? Teaching. Amen. Never go to a church. Okay, let me not put it that way. Okay. Never say that they teach too much in a church. Teaching can't be too much. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Teaching can't be too much. Because that is how you raise disciples. The church is not where you go to do suya night. That's not the church. The church is not where you go to have breakfast fellowship. The church is not where you go for a music concert. If you want to do a music concert, you take it out of the church. The church is where we raise disciples by teaching them. Amen. Look at Luke 24, from verse 25. Jesus met two of his disciples on their way to Emmaus. And look at what he said to them in verse 25. Luke 24, verse 25. Open your Bible to Luke 24. He said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet hath spoken. He says, of not the Christ to suffer these things and to enter into his glory. He has said, I'm beginning at Moses and all the prophets. This is verse 27. He expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Then I'm going to help us a bit now. Okay. Come and sit here. Sit here. You. Sit here. Yeah. Now you can help with the scriptures. Now, sociology, and the person is a good marketer. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, this is going on. Someone read, what other one can I say? Banking and finance. And the person is marketing solar. Amen. So, if your career is God's destiny for your life, then a lot of people will have missed God. Amen. Someone has civil engineering and the person is doing haulage, is doing dispatch rider. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I'm not laughing at that too, but I'm just showing you, right? Glory to God. Call red fishery, red banking, and his brother is doing POS. Amen. That's not a joke. So Nigerian situation alone will tell you that can be God's purpose for your life. Amen. So who chooses your career? Yourself. Amen. You choose what you want to be. Okay, you hear me? You do what? You choose what you want to become. God doesn't choose what you want to become. Glory to God. Amen. I don't see people who wanted to read. I know my friend. He wanted to, of blessed memory, he wanted to read law. A unilad. So he wrote jam. And I went to write post UME. And when he now will pursue him, the utilized and gave him admission to come and read what? Guess what? To come and read guidance and counseling. The guy said, no, this is not God's purpose for my life. I said, oh God, calm down. It can't be God's purpose. Amen. Amen. What are you following me? So that is a career. Different things will determine what you will be. But what is God's purpose for my life? What's God's purpose for the life of a man? Amen. I have been a medium through which God will use to carry out his purpose in your life. Yes. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Okay. Hallelujah. Amen. So God is going to walk through your career also. But your career is not God's purpose. So what is God's purpose for your life? Now, look up everybody. I told us every believer has a singular purpose. Can you remember that? Every believer. Amen? Every believer has a singular purpose. Your purpose is my purpose. In God's will. Now we cannot have different expression of those purposes, right? But let's start like this. We have the same purpose. Glory to God. So we said, what is God's purpose for the earth? In knowing what God's purpose is for the earth, then we know what God's purpose is for my life. So what is God's plan for the earth? Genesis chapter 1 verse 1. Genesis 1 what? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's God's purpose for the earth. The heaven in all the earth. What is God's purpose? Heaven in all the earth. What is God's purpose? Genesis 1:26. Man in his image. What is God's purpose? The whole earth becoming his heaven. Numbers chapter 14 verse 21, everybody. Numbers 14:21. Numbers 14, verse 21. Are you there? Are you there? So let's read verse 21 together. One, two, go. Everybody. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. Numbers 14. Are you there? If you are there, say amen. Okay. Look at verse 21. Can I read verse 21 together? One, two, go. But as truly as I live, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. What is God's purpose for the earth? The whole earth is filled with his glory. What is his glory? Heaven and earth. What is glory? God and man together. What is God's plan? God's plan is for every man to be united with him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's see something. So, is that every man born again? Is that every man saved? Is that every man saved? Habakkuk chapter number 2. Habakkuk. See? So, is Habakkuk in the Bible? Yes, it's in the Bible. Habakkuk. Woo, glory to God. As the water covers the earth, that is what's God's plan. His knowledge in all the earth. Hallelujah. Amen. What's God's plan? His knowledge in all the in all the earth. Thank you. So God's plan is that every man is saved and every man knows me. Hallelujah. Amen. So you cannot know God without being saved. Without being born again. Look at 1 Timothy, everybody. 1 Timothy chapter 2. I haven't gotten into what I want to teach you today. 1 Timothy 2. Verses 3. He said, but this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. What is God's plan? All men to be? All men to be? Only those who go to church to be saved? No. Every man to be saved. Does this include every religion? Does this include every religion? Every tribe? Every culture? So God wants all men to be saved. Hallelujah. God wants every man to be saved. So how would God make all men saved? He will send man. So the same men that are saved, in Genesis 1:28, he now says, let them have dominion. Right? Be fruitful, he blessed them and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. Hallelujah. Have dominion, subdue the earth. So, in carrying out, in God carrying out his purpose in the earth, he will use man. So I said, God will always use man. God will always use what? Well, God will always use what? God will always use man. Hallelujah. God will always use man. As we want to teach, as we want to take this teaching further sometime in the year again, where I will teach you the man God uses. You'll see. Amen. God will always use man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So what is God's method? What is God's method? How does God carry out his will on the earth? How will God carry out his will on the earth? Man. Amen. How will God carry out his will on the earth? Man. God will always use man, man, man. And who is the man? You and I. Thank you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So God, so we said, man is God's method from Genesis. In Genesis 1, he made man in his image. The same man is made in his image, he sent him out. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36, he said, pray the Lord of the harvest. He said, he saw them, they are sheep without shepherds. And I said to his disciples, pray the Lord of the harvest, that will send forth more laborers into his harvest. By chapter 10, verse 1, he sent his disciples out. So God will use man. How will God fill the earth? He will use man. He will use you. He will use me. He will use you. He will use her. He will use him. Glory to God. God will always use man. What kind of man? The man that is born again. God will use the man that is born again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God will use man to reach men. God will use man to get men born again and discipled. So it's not enough that you are born again. I want to say, everybody look up there. Look up. Now, everybody look up. Now, there's been this talk that people say, God just wants everybody to be born again. It's not true. Born again is a means into what God wants for all men. Amen. Amen. So, born again is that entrance into God's plan. So what is God's plan? God's plan is that every man is saved and is discipled. So it's not enough that you are saved. You have to now be given to discipleship. Amen. It's good you're born again. It's good every man is born again. It's good everyone gets born again. But that isn't the end point. It goes further. Now be discipled. Discipled in God's word. Discipled via teaching. We are discipled via instructions. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. That is how God wants us to be. That is how God wants us to be. You can't just say, God just, see, use, I always say this, I said nature itself, I'm still going to say it in this teaching today, nature itself points us to God's plan. Now, when a man is born into the world, is a man born into the world and then just left alone like that? No. The man will have to be nurtured. The child will be nurtured. Right? Even when the person that gave birth to the child dies, the child will still be, you mustn't skip that path where you are nurtured. Amen. Whether you are nurtured in your parents' hands or you are nurtured in the motherless baby home, you will be nurtured. Amen. That's how God has made it for you to be nurtured. Amen. Amen. When you are growing up and then you walk out of the house, I don't want to stay in this house anymore. You are tagged a wayward child. Right?
And that's what it does. That also points you to Christianity. God wants you born again and discipled. Amen. Are you hearing me? He wants you born again and what? Disciple. The moment you are no longer given to discipleship, you are tagged a wayward believer. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? When a believer is not given to discipleship, that believer is tagged wayward. He's going astray. Because God's plan is that you are born again and then you are in a local church being discipled.
And I'm teaching you on traveling in prayer. I've been saying this, right, for the past two sessions. So it's very vital you see it. So when I said, the man that God uses, he causes the man to do what? He causes the man to do what? The man God uses, he causes the man to? He causes the man to? So when a man is not praying, it means the man is not walking in God's way. When a believer, can you find a believer who's not walking in God's plan, God's purpose for his life? Yes. Hallelujah. So what is, if God is using me, therefore, he's going to cause me to pray. So ask ourselves the question, how long must I keep praying? For how long? Did I just pray for 1 week and forget it? No. How long must I keep praying? So we answered that question last week. Who can remember? Who can remind me of that? How long must I keep praying? Eh? Yeah. He said, I like that. You keep praying as long as they see that man who is not born again. So the moment you see someone that's not born again, oh boy, we've got to keep praying. Amen. As long as there is that one man who is not born again, I'll keep praying. Hallelujah. How long must I keep praying? Right? How long must I keep praying? As long as there is that one person who is not born again. We said two, as long as there is that one believer who is walking in the flesh. Once you see a believer walking in the flesh, oh boy, we are still praying. Amen. You know, when you start, when you get to prayer retreat, there's a word we used to know. There's just one sound you'll be hearing. We are praying, we are praying, we are still praying. Amen. So once you see someone who is walking in the flesh, you hear the news that someone is just started walking in the flesh. You say, ah! We continue praying. Hallelujah. As long as there's that one believer who's walking in the flesh, as long as there's an unbeliever, I will still keep praying. Three, we said, as long as there is that one person that is being discipled. Amen. As long as there's that one believer being discipled, we'll keep praying. Colossians 4 verse 12. He said, Epaphras. He said, he labored for you, labors for you. Fervently. Right? Epaphras, who is one of you, say labor so fervently that you stand complete and perfect in all the will of God. So that means, as long as you have a disciple, as long as there's one person being discipled, you have to keep praying. Amen. Amen. As long as there's that one believer walking in God's plan, you go to see someone preaching, I'll keep praying. Hallelujah. So that means there's every reason to pray. There's no reason not to pray. There's every reason in the world to pray. Every reason. Are there still people who are not born again in the world? Are there still people who are not born again in the world? So that means we pray. Hallelujah. Amen. Are there still nations that will have people that are not born again, even in Lagos? Yes. So that means we have to. As long as there's that other religion, that we have people who are not born again there. Right? There's a need to. As long as there is that brother who is walking in the flesh. Right? Believer on vacation. Believer who does not go to church. There's a reason to pray. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So there's every reason to pray. Don't say, there was no reason why I could. I've not been praying because I did not see any reason to pray. Ah. The whole earth is a reason. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what happens when we don't pray? What happens when we don't pray? Luke 18 verse 1. Luke 18, verse 1. What happens when we don't pray? Luke 18, verse 1. Some people don't know. You know, growing up there, everybody look up. Growing up there, we used to grumble when they wake us in the morning to come and pray. But you know, that really helped us. He helped us build a culture of prayer. When I went to school, I thought that thing that I was grumbling about, I got to school, that's what I was doing. This is that. So wake you up by 5 a.m. to pray. You say, oh, what is all this one, huh? You got it, Amboli. Good morning, Jesus. Oh my God. Amen. I don't want to pray. So those things help. Building a prayer culture is important for a believer. Luke 18. Are you there? Luke 18, verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. One to go. One to go. Ah. Should we write to your schools to return back your school fees? Luke 18, verse 1. Okay, wait. Let's go. One to go. Again, want to go? And speak a parable unto them to this end. Calm down. Let's take it again. Want to go? And speak a parable unto them to this end. There's a command there. That men ought always to pray and not to faint. Faint there means to lose heart. So when men don't pray, right? When men don't pray, they faint. Faint means you lose heart. Amen. Amen. When men don't pray, remember I told you, we pray for boldness. So when you see someone who is not bold in preaching the gospel, is not praying. Amen. So if you don't pray, you will fall into fear. Men who fear, men who don't pray. Hallelujah. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. Matthew 26 quickly. Matthew 26. Okay. Matthew 26 quickly. Matthew 26. Are you there? Woo! Glory to God. Verse 41. Matthew 26, he said, watch and pray, that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 22, verses 41. Verses 40, sorry. Luke 22, quickly. Verse 40. He said to them, he said, and when he was in the place, he said to them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. So that means when men just pray, they will fall into temptation. So prayer keeps you from falling. Say, prayer keeps me from falling. Prayer keeps me from falling. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. So, what happens when we don't pray? We faint? We skip? We fall into temptation. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 22. Thessalonians is before Timothy. Chapter 5, verse 22. That's it, 22?
verse 16. It says, rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. So when I don't pray, I am quenching the Spirit. That was quenching not the Spirit fire. So when I don't pray, I'm quenching the Spirit fire. Amen. So can I quench the Spirit fire? Yes. When I don't pray. You see? Oh yeah, don't rest on the wall. Amen. Glory to God. When I don't pray, I said, when I don't pray, I am quenching the Spirit fire. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So we said, in the place of prayer, listen, I'm running this teaching up. In the place of prayer, God puts His word on us. His what? No. His what? His body. Hallelujah. In the place of prayer, God puts His body on us. We carry the body of the Lord. So in the place of prayer, we exchange our desire for His desire. Amen. His desires overwhelm us in the place of prayer. The desires of God overwhelm us. Hallelujah. We begin to see as He sees. We begin to hear as He hears. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He put His desires on us. He put His desires on us, right? He put His burdens of His body. What is on His heart is placed on us. I put it like this, we bear His bedpans. How many of you know that God has bedpans for the earth? Bedpans. God has bedpans. You know, sometimes people see where people pray and they don't understand why is that when they pray, you hear people shout, fire! You don't know. We say, why? You know, the last time we had BG, so when, you know, in church we call it, we are burning fire. You know that? We are burning fire. Glory to God. And I was coming to join them. I saw some people who were, they came to do business in their own churches, you know, and they saw us praying. So the moment our voice was so loud, fire! You know, I stopped and we're looking at them. They're supposed to be concentrated on their prayer, and they were looking. What is happening? What is this? Amen. You understand? It's because they don't understand what has come upon them. Hallelujah. Or what has come upon us. In fact, somebody there, I have to tell one of your pastors to go and warn the person. The person was snapping us. Was taking pictures. But he didn't know what was going on. These same people that after a few minutes, everybody would not keep quiet. And I'm just part of the praying so much. After a while, they'll come together and she hear it. Oh, Holy God, Jesus! What is happening? Amen. I bet he was snapping pictures. I didn't think whether the person was snapping or I saw the person snapping pictures. Amen. I saw the person. Why was the person snapping pictures? I don't know. Maybe you also will have. We saw some people. Amen. You know when you take pictures and then the light will flash. That light flash. This is black. And then no. Go and tell him to stop. Go and tell that person to stop. Taking those pictures. Amen. Amen. So what is this about God's body? Like I said, God, you know the way I told you that evil, listen, everybody look up. I thought the evil nature points to God. Hallelujah. So that means what you find in a pregnant woman at the point of delivery, when she has death pangs, those are signs that point to God. God who has death pangs. Someone said, I heard someone one time, he said, who would give birth like the Hebrew women? The Hebrew women, when they give birth, they don't have death pangs. Are you for me? Is that the Bible? That was said as a lie to Pharaoh. The midwife that said so, said it as they were trying to cover up the Hebrew women. Right? So they said it as a lie to Pharaoh. It's what you are quoting. That will give better than the Hebrew women have. They don't go through labor. Confirm, they go through favor. Abi? Nonsense. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm not going to look at that today. I'm going to show you that some other day. Hallelujah. So but God has bad pants. Look at Isaiah chapter 66. Let's see whether God has bad pants. Isaiah 66. Everybody gets to Isaiah 66. Are you there? Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 7. Isaiah verse 6. He said, a voice of God from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that rendered to confess to his enemies. Whose voice is this? The voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord. Look at verse 7. He said, before she tried me. Now, this is using. Now, I told you. Now, this. Stop. Now, this is very vital. Someone has said to me that Bible is by Chaita. That God was only described as a he. I said it's a lie. I can show you places in the Bible where God was described as a she. As a she. So that means you find both genders in God. Don't say God is Pachaika. Don't say God is feminist. God is not a feminist. God is not Pachaika. Amen? So we answer that question. Pachaika and feminism, where is it? So they are expecting series 2 of Pachaika and feminism, where is God? They are expecting it very soon. It's going to be another 10 hours to see. Amen? Because we need to further answer that question again. Also, where is God? So, even if there's no, but Moses described God as a he, and then Moses also described God as a she. Oh, what's your scriptures? Even in Genesis, it describes God with the woman as the helper. So stop it. Amen? Stop it. Glory to God. Now, he's describing God. God's voice. In verse 7, I said, before she tried it, and was referring to God. Yeah, before she tried it, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was delivered of a man child. Who had heard such a thing? Who had seen such a thing? Shall the head be made forth? I mean, shall the head be made to bring forth in one day? Or shall the nation be born at once? As soon as Zion tried it, she brought forth her children. Hallelujah. Did you see that? And this is in relation to salvation. As soon as Zion travails. Now watch that word travails. Now that word travail there is, you find it in Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 2, quickly. Let's watch down to Deuteronomy 2. Deuteronomy 2 verse 25. Deuteronomy 2 verse 25. Let's see. 25. Are you there? It says, this day I will begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and shall be in anguish because of thee. Now that word tribal is the word anguish. To be in pain. Hallelujah. Glory to God. That means in the place of prayer, we can feel the pains of God for the nation. We can bear his pains for the nation. We can bear his bodies for the nations. Hallelujah. Glory to God. He put his bodies on us. So that means in the place of prayer, we can have experiences. Hallelujah. It's called experiences in the place of prayer. That's what we're going to have in prayer retreat. Beyond the fact that we bear the body, some of us are going to get into visions and revelations in the place of prayer. We're going to see examples in scriptures. Hallelujah. So that means in the place of prayer, we can bear the pains of God. We can bear the labor pains of God, because we are praying for what? For the gospel. We are praying for men. We are praying for salvation. We are praying for men to grow in the knowledge of God's word. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Let's see Genesis chapter 32. Genesis 32, quickly. Now, Because we've always read that Jacob wrestled with God, right? And we don't understand how some people think it's WWE. Jacob and God were doing SmackDown. Amen. So Jacob now helped God. Now then the rest now got 1, 2, 3. God now said, please leave me. Please leave me. No. That was not what happened in Genesis 32. Look at Genesis 32. Verses 32. Genesis 32, 32. That's in Genesis 32. I think I made a mistake there. A second, please. Okay. Genesis. Chapter 32, yeah? From verse 22. Verse 22. It says, and he rose up that night and took his two wives and his two women servants and his 11 sons and passed over the ford Jabbok. And he took them and sent them over to the brooks and sent over that he had. And Jacob was left alone. Left alone, stop. Did we find something like this with Jesus? That he sends people away and was alone to pray. Did you see that? You do find that with Jesus. That he left, he told the people to go and he went alone to pray. Right? Now, we'll find that. So that means what Jacob is about to do was prayer. But let's see. And he left alone and they wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. Now, stop. When you find the word wrestle, touch up. When you find the word wrestle, it's not WWE. It's not Jackie Chan and Jet Li. It's not Bruce Lee and Bruce La. Amen. Okay with me? Amen. It's not... No! That's not the wrestle yet. Amen. 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 So, how long did he wrestle till daybreak? That means started from night till morning, like a vigil. Amen? So that wrestle there is a struggle, that's the word. There was a struggle. Put it down, a struggle. The same way you find in the best pants of a woman, where you're like, oh, now that's going to find. So, Jacob wrestled. Now the man he wrestled with there is, that means he had encounters, right, in that place of wrestling. He had encounters in that place of wrestling. We're going to see that shortly, what it means. Look at Haggai. No, open the Bible with me to Hosea first. Hosea chapter 12. Let's understand what that wrestle is. Hosea. It's Hosea in the Bible. Okay. Hosea. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Are you there, Hosea 2? Oh, there's a 2, sorry, 12. Hosea 2, sorry. Hosea 12. Are you there? I'm going to read verses 3. For example, verse 2. The Lord had also controversy with Judah and will punish Jacob according to his ways, according to the doings he will confess him. He took his brother by the heel in the womb. Is that Jacob and Esau? And by strength he had power with God. That is chapter 34. He had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel. Is that now put your hands there and get back to Genesis again. Genesis chapter 32. Put your hands in that Hosea. Get back to Genesis 32. Now you see, it's talking about the same thing here. Genesis 32. Look at verse 25. It says, when he saw, which is the angel, so that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his calf, of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. You see that? Look at verse 28. And he said, thy name shall no more be called Jacob for Israel. For as a tree that has power with God and with men and has prevailed.
Watch that. Get back to that Hosea. So that you understand what he's teaching there. Hosea chapter 12. Verse 3. He said, he took his brother by the heel in the womb. That is Jacob and Esau. Right? And by his strength he had power with God. But yet he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept. Now this is Jacob. What did Jacob do? He wept. Do not mean he wept, right? And he made supplication unto him. He made what?
Supplication.
Supplication is prayer. He made what unto God? Prayer. Supplication. Hallelujah. That means what was happening that night was what? Jacob praying. And in the place of prayer, there was angels. Amen. He had encounters in the place of prayer. So the rescue there was supplication. Was not a fight. Was not a physical fight. Amen. Was there supernatural beings there? Yes. So that means when we pray, right, we can have encounters with supernatural beings and entities. Right? Hallelujah. Open with me. What did he do? He had supplication. He wept. So that means I can pray and weep. Man, sometimes you see people praying and then they're crying. You say, why is he crying? Is it not just this one prayer? No. Look at the emotions of God. Have you prayed for your disciples before? I'm telling you this. That sometimes you pray for some people and you're praying for them, tears is coming down your eyes. Look at the emotions of God. You don't know why you're crying. But you're just praying for them. And tears is coming down your eyes. Because you are praying as God's will for them. Hallelujah. Amen. That's God's body. Hallelujah. What are you following me? What are you following me? So that means in prayer, can we bear God's body? In prayer, can we carry God's body? Can we? We can. Just like Jacob. So, the word rescue there means he had bodily struggle. So that means he was praying, there was a bodily struggle. But can we find that too in the New Testament? Yes. Look at Luke chapter 22, Jesus. Luke 22, let's find that. Let's see Jesus. Hallelujah. We're closing now. Oh, glory to God. We find it in Jesus. Luke 22. Oh, thank you, Lord. Like that? Verse 43. I saw from verse 41. Okay? Are you with me? Luke 22, verse 1. And can you be? What is that? What is that? Are you talking? Verse 41. Said, and he was withdrawn from them about the stone cast and knelt down and prayed. This is Jesus saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. Now, remember I told you, what do we pray for? We say we pray for God's will, right? Prayer is not concerning things. No. Prayer is about what? God's will, right? Prayer is not about what? Because we. If your prayer is about things first, you'll be like my friend that went out to Canada. And in Canada, everything is fine. No longer praying for NEPA to bring light. No longer praying for funny things. Nothing. Now we no longer pray. We just give thanks to God and pray for rapture. Are you okay? Amen. Because your prayer was about things. Prayer is not about things. Prayer is about God's will. Look up here. Prayer is about what? God's will first. Glory to God. And we said, when we pray,
Who is the first recipient of our prayer? We. That means in the place of prayer, we are changed. In the place of prayer, we receive, we can have encounters, right? Just like Moses, just like Jesus. Hallelujah. Now let's get into this. That our phone would have been disturbing the owner. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So Luke chapter 22. Now, verses 42. He said, Father, if this be willing, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Verse 43. And there appeared an angel of God in prayer, strengthening. So, Jesus in the place of prayer has supernatural beings. So just like Jacob. Can you see? Can you see? An angel just like Jacob appeared. Just like Jacob. Strengthening him. Was that what happened to Moses? Moses was also being strengthened, that his face was shining. Amen. Amen. So that means in the place of prayer, we can have encounter. Hallelujah. Verse 44. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly. This is Jesus. Being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, right? And his sweat was at his way, great drop of blood falling down on the floor, on the ground. How about Jesus Christ? He prayed. He said he was in agony. That word agony is from the Greek word agonia. It means to wrestle. No, he had, Jesus had bodily movement like praying. Amen. That means Jesus will have a prayer, I will have a prayer like this, and then change like this, and then go do. Amen. He had bodily movement. He was in agony. Amen. You can't be in agony. I didn't say agony. I say agony. That's the rhyme. Amen. Glory to God. It's a good rhyme. How about that? Amen. Amen. I'll just do it. Glory to God. He was in agony. He had bodily movement. Jesus also. That means Jesus was not even hurt something. Ah! I was praying. Glory to God. Jesus. You know, that kind of prayer, that sweat will be coming out like blood. You know, it's not normal prayer. It's not, you're not praying and then you're saying, Oh Lord. No! People's prayer, he was sweating. Now, take note, he was not in a confined area. Remember, it was in the night. Breeze used to blow. He was in the open space. That means there was breeze. If there was heat, his disciples would not be sleeping. That means there was cool breeze. But have you been in a place of prayer where the weather is cold but you are sweating? You are sweating it out. When you don't pray, all the ground is full of sweat. That is being in agony. Amen. That point when you pray, it looks as if all your strength is zapped out of you. You are in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. See, they appeared an angel stressing. That means we can have encounters in prayer. We can have encounters in prayer. We will pray out of God today. And then, we will carry the bodies of God in the place of prayer. You know the same of prayer? Not prayer, I pray in English. Hallelujah. Is it praying always? It's not prayer. Right? And supplication in the spirits. We pray out in tongues. Hallelujah. Look at Galatians chapter 4 as we go. Galatians 4. Amen. Galatians chapter 4. The owner of that phone was serious in church. The person who had put his phone on silent. But that was what I would always say, put your phone on silent. Imagine why your phone would have been distracting church. Because you don't put your phone in silent. So there is put your phone on silent. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Galatians 4, are you there? Galatians 4. Quickly watch to Galatians 4. Verse 18. He says, but it's good to be diligently accepted always in a good thing. And not only when I am present with you, verse 19. My little children. This is Paul. Whom I shall gain in bed. Is this that word again? Whom I do what? Whom I shall gain, whom I shall gain in bed again until Christ be formed in you. That means, when you pray out God's will, how did Paul pray for them to be born again? Intravenous. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How did he pray for them to grow spiritually? Intravenous. Because until Christ be formed in you, until Christ be formed in you is discipleship. That means the prayer life of a believer is with intravenous. Hallelujah. You want to see God's will done in the earth? Want to see God's will done in Mapuluku? Hallelujah. Want to see God's light shine in every church? Whereby there's no more... See, let me tell you the truth. I pray for the church also. I pray for believers that the light of the gospel will shine. That falsehood will stop. Amen?
Amen.
When we pray like that, we'll pray out God's body. Hallelujah. We bear the bodies of God. Pray this week in all the earth. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Will I get tired in my body? I will. Amen. You will get tired. The Bible says Jesus prayed all night. Jesus prayed all night. And all night for the Jews is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Stand up for that. What's it? For the Jews, all night is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. I mean, Jesus prayed 12 good hours. Amen. Amen. When you pray, will you get tired in your body? You will. Will you feel weak in your body? Yes, you will. Amen. Amen. But you know what? You won't die. You'll keep praying. Amen. Go to God. Say, I will pray. Always I will pray. I will carry God's burdens in the place of prayer. I will pray. Let's be on our feet as we pray. Let's be on our feet. Let's pray.